What can I say? I'm Nina motherfucking Blanco. Episode 3 of the Nina Blanco podcast. Oh my gosh. Last week I released my first two episodes. I was so nervous to do it. And so many people actually listened. And I'm going to tell you, like, that's the fear, right? You create something, whether it be audio or video or both, or you put something up on social media and you're like, everyone's going to hate this. No one's going to like it. No one's going to look at it. No one's going to listen. But people showed up, friends, family, and like all the messages that I got. Oh my gosh, y'all made me cry like a lot. thank you so much for listening. I mean, this has been really therapeutic for me, like really therapeutic for me. It's been nice to finally be out of that crazy non-compete that I was in. And I felt like Ariel from The Little Mermaid. I felt like Ursula had my voice for 6 months and I couldn't do anything about it. And I have my voice back now. And what did Ariel have to deal with? She had to deal with it for like, what, maybe a couple of weeks. So Ariel got nothing on me. I am free. My voice is allowed to be out into the world again. So it's really, really cool. It's empowering. It's liberating. It feels amazing. I got so many messages. I try to respond to pretty much everyone. So thank you so much for listening and just talking with me. I got a DM from a listener. I got to read it to you right here. They said, "You cry so sad. I could not be around you when you cry. If you cried like Kim Kardashian, I could. Kim's cry makes me laugh, but you cry like you're holding in emotions from 500 years ago. It's a sad and lonely cry." Oh, like when I read that, I was like, oh, like double thinking everything that I've ever been through in my life. Thank you to this person who messaged me. We chatted for a little bit. As a person who has not gone to therapy, but knows they should, this struck me, this comment right there. It looks like you've been holding in like sad and loneliness for 500 years. And I mean, I just always thought that like, there are people that have it way worse than I do. On a daily basis, dealing with things through their life, there are people that have just gone through way, way more than I have. So I've kind of just like brushed it off, like whatever, anything that I've gone through is whatever compared to so many people. But it's not fair to myself that I've had that mentality about it. I mean, that message made me realize that I really have gone through it. I've gone through a lot in my life. Some of it I talk about freely. Some of it I don't talk about. Some of it only like close friends and family know about. But maybe this podcast, you know, will help me open up and talk about these things that I don't normally talk about and get through it. I mean, I've been through a lot in my 29 years on this earth. And yeah, I know I'm actually 31, but because of this panini, I feel like we get 2 years off of our age. Okay, so I'm sticking with it. For some reason, I don't know why, on Facebook, if you follow me on social media, you know that there's been a couple of times, I'm not trying to like brag or anything because it's not a big deal, but there have been a couple of times where I have gone a little bit viral. And every time I've gone viral, it's like these stupid videos. I mean, one, it was a prank on TikTok and it got taken down because it violated community guidelines, but I basically called baby ugly. Long story. We'll talk about it later. And then another time on Instagram, I went viral and I was in a Patrick Star onesie doing the WAP dance, but there had farts like attached to it. So every time I lifted my leg, it was like, funny, right? Okay. So I went viral on TikTok. I went viral on Instagram. Now I've gone viral on Facebook. And this video that is trending, I had no idea that it would actually kind of go pretty far. And around Christmas time was when it first started to like really launch. And now, even still, I'm getting all these comments on it. Let me pull this up. Let me see how many views I've got. Okay, so it's not totally viral. It's 141,000 views. That's still a lot though, okay? And it's only got 6 shares on it. So it's from my page that people are seeing this and it's got 141,000 views on it. On my Facebook, I was shopping. I was at the grocery store and this was like a week before Christmas, 2 weeks before Christmas that this happened. But someone had double parked in 2 spaces. And it's some like stupid Honda car. Like it's not a cool Lamborghini or a Porsche or something that's really, really expensive. Like this is a freaking Honda. Okay. And so I have post-it notes that I keep in my car courtesy of the boy. This is something that he made me do, and I never use them except for like this one time. And I wrote a little post-it note and I put it on their windshield. I said, "Don't park like a dick, especially around the holidays. Thanks." And drew a little middle finger. And people are pissed. People think I'm the worst person ever for this note. First of all, it's a little sticky note. Someone tried to be like, "Oh, and you're littering." Bitch, where? That piece of paper is not on the ground anywhere. It is a sticky note. It is staying on their windshield until they pick it up. And hopefully they don't throw it on the ground and they throw it away like a good human being. But who knows, because they double parked. Second of all, people are saying like, "Oh, you showed them. What does that do for you? Blah, blah, blah." Like, it was a funny thing that I put up on the internet. That's what it does for me. And I've got 141,000 views. That's what it does for me. What does your fucking comment do for you, bruh? So take that. I clearly don't get mad at comments on internet videos. But I don't know. People just think I'm like this terrible, terrible person. And I mean, other people had comments about, well, you don't know if they were a handicapped person and there wasn't any handicap spaces available. I mean, sure, I don't know that for a fact. I probably didn't check if all the handicap spaces were taken or not. What I did do, because I always do keep that in mind, I did check to see if they had a handicap plate on their plates. Nope, nothing there, or not the sticker, not the little hangy thing. So I don't know, it's possible, but either way, like, whatever, it's a freaking note. But people think I'm like the worst person ever on Facebook, but I finally had a somewhat successful viral video on Facebook. So you know what? I'll take it, haters. I mentioned on the first podcast that I was just going so crazy with wedding planning that I had even thought about doing a destination wedding, and I really did. I learned a lot about wedding planning and destination wedding planning in general, because that's like a whole totally different animal. And I pretty much planned a full wedding, or at least I tried to. I really was going to try to get married in Mexico. I'm not anymore. I'm getting married in the States. But I thought I would go through some destination wedding stuff, but this was a possibility for me because Denver is expensive. We know that. And weddings are expensive. And so the combination of the two, wedding in Denver, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm freaking out. How am I going to swing this? How am I going to do this? So the wedding in Denver that we had initially planned, we were planning our ceremony to happen at Red Rocks at the Trading Post backyard. We wanted our reception to be at this super cute, Insta-worthy hotel that is downtown, had this big grand ballroom for dinner. It had this outdoor like patio attached to it. I think it was like the third or the fifth floor. So you were way up and you were surrounded by buildings and it was downtown and it was so, so cool. But the most expensive part of wedding planning and trying to pay for a wedding is the food. It's the catering. It's insane. And so some places, some venues, if you're going with a venue, they have preferred vendors that they've worked with before. They can give you a list of that. Or some of them say, no, you have to do your catering in-house. Since this was a hotel with a restaurant in it, I mean, of course, they were like, you got to do the catering in-house. Like, all right, no problem. So initially, when I get my rundown of all the wedding stuff and the plans and how much things are going to cost, like, it was a little bit pricey. Yeah, but I was like, I could still do this at the time because I had savings that I planned on using and I still had a job at that point. When that was kind of taken away from me a little bit, I had to reevaluate, especially when we were going through the legitimate numbers. They gave me a little calculator that was like, plug in the number of people here, plug in the how much the dinners will cost according to which plan you pick out, and it'll give you an approximate. When I tell you, I almost screamed at what the actual approximate was. It was like $38,000. Yeah, that's just for reception. That's the down payment on the reception for the hotel to use the ballroom area and the catering for 180 people that we had originally planned on inviting to our wedding. $37,000. That doesn't include the ceremony at Red Rocks. That doesn't include any attire. I had to still get my dress at this point, and same for the grooms, get him figured out, and you know, all the other stuff in between. What about all the vendors, like photographer, DJ, a photo booth, I don't know, other things that come with a wedding? I was looking at pretty much like $45,000 for this wedding, and I was like, we can't do this. We cannot do this. So we tried to plan this destination wedding because I had heard that destination weddings can be a little bit cheaper. So I was looking at Mexico. Outside of Cancun is this little island. It's called Isla Mujeres. And I've been there before. The boy's been there before. The island is one of the boy's favorites. We've been there together. And so we were like, let's get married there. That would be super cool. While that idea was super cool, we just ran into a bunch of things that we were like, this isn't working. And so we had to come up with another plan. But there are so many pros and cons lists online about destination weddings. In case you're thinking about planning one of those, I'm going to give you my list of, oh, wait, I didn't think about that. And this was not included in that pros and cons list. Okay, so here you go. Yeah, you got to use your imagination and you got to let go of control. I'm not like a super big control freak. I can be a perfectionist at times, most definitely. But with wedding planning lately, I've been like, ugh, I hate this. I hate it a lot. I really do not enjoy the wedding planning process in any way, shape, or form, just so everyone knows that. But when you are planning a destination wedding, you kind of have to let go of control even more so because you're so far away, you know, whether you're planning to get married in Mexico or Jamaica or, I don't know, any other gorgeous, beautiful destination, you have to let go a little bit of the control. You can't see or do anything like till a day, 2 days before when you get there for the wedding. You're going to have to FaceTime with your coordinators for them to show you the space. And this is how we can lay out the tables and stuff like that and decor and planning for the flower, planning for the cake. I mean, there is a lot that is out of your control and you're not going to be able to nitpick at it at all. Until you get there. And at that point, sometimes it's just too late. So think about that. Another thing to think about, not everyone can come. So we went from 180 people that we were planning on originally inviting all the way down to 40. We had 40 people on our guest list for our destination wedding. And this was pretty much just immediate family and like a few best friends and like our bridesmaids and what's the other one's called? Groomsmen? Yeah, that's the one. It was down to 40 people, okay? So it was our nearest and dearest, which was actually really exciting to me because it was like we get to do this little mini destination vacation while celebrating our love and our marriage with our family, and we get to spend a couple of days with them. Like even after the wedding, people would think, oh, is it weird after the wedding if you see them? Because like they all know what you did last night. I mean... I was actually excited for it. We were going to plan like a catamaran trip, invite all 40 people on this catamaran, obviously hire a service and everything for it. And then we could have like a boat day the day after our wedding and just enjoy time together. Then the boy and I could like enjoy a real honeymoon after that, after everyone leaves, you know. You have to realize that if you are planning a destination wedding, straight up, not everyone is going to be able to come. And since you're probably narrowing down your list of people, like you have to realize that a little bit. I mean, my family, they do not travel. None of them have their passport. And so that's a big ask too, to ask them to get a passport. And passports have been backed up ever since COVID started, and they're still backed up. Plus it costs a pretty penny. I can't remember the exact price, but I did look it up at the time. It's over $100, $120, $130, $40, I don't know, $160 with like express shipping and everything like that. It's expensive. That's a big ask. And COVID. I mean, you're already narrowing down your list to the people you care about the most. If they can't come because their passport didn't come in on time, that's one thing. But, you know, it is scary. What if someone got COVID, like right before? And right now they're requiring you to take tests like the day before you get on the plane. It is very possible that a last minute cancellation on someone's part could happen because of COVID. And then they're also kind of talking, I've heard this a little bit here and there on the internet, that they are possibly requiring vaccinations to be able to fly out of the country. I know that they're requiring the tests for now, but they're talking about it. They're talking about requiring vaccinations, COVID vaccines for international travel. And so that was another thing. And like I said, my sisters aren't vaccinated. There's a couple people who aren't vaccinated and who will refuse to do it. And so I don't know. That's just a little bit of like a heartbreak that you might have to get into. Another one, legalities. Did you know that you need blood work done to get married in Mexico? I didn't know that until I looked it up. It's quite honestly an old homophobic rule that they have that you have to do a blood test. It's the craziest thing. But in order to get married in Mexico, you have to do a blood test, which is just crazy to me. That was too much. And then you have to like pay fees for them to do it. You have to go to like a hospital to do it. I was like, no, we're not going to do that. Let's just get married beforehand, before we go to Mexico. And then it'll be a symbolic ceremony. That'll be our wedding date, but we'll have to legally get married in the States before the destination wedding. So Norma, my mother, all up my ass all the time, which whatever, she's my mom, she's allowed. But she had mentioned, hey, if you have to get married before getting married in Mexico, I want to be there. At this point, I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so many wedding things happening. We have the destination wedding week. And then my mom, because I wasn't going to invite any extended family, wanted to have a post-wedding reception back in my hometown and invite all of my family, which would have been awesome. We were down for that. We were going to plan that. But Norma wanted to be there for a third wedding adventure, which was, I want to be there for when you get legally married, even if it's in the courthouse, I want to be there. So that's like another thing that my mom would have had to fly out here to do. If you have moms that are all up in your business like I do, I mean, that is an understandable thing for a mom to want to be at. You know what I mean? So Norma, she wanted to be there for that as well. So that's like three wedding things. I don't know about that. Oh, here's something that I didn't think about. I joined these little Facebook groups for destination wedding planning and to get help with it and recommendations, and let's see how these other brides are doing it. Ooh, didn't even think about this. Import duty tax. Yeah, to and from Mexico. I was planning on bringing stuff. I was planning on bringing a whole suitcase just for decor. So you would be taxed on that to bring it into the country. Any welcome bags? I was going to gift everyone welcome bags. Welcome to Mexico. Thank you so much for coming out here. Stuff on flowers, if you're trying to bring flowers back to the States after your wedding because you want to keep them for a keepsake. I mean, there's some stuff behind that. And any gifts that you might receive from people while you're there. Wedding gifts. Like, of course, that's a normal thing. You're going to get taxed on that in and out of the country. So that is a huge thing to think about. There are free calculators online for you to check and see what the approximate cost will be for your duty tax. But I didn't think about that. So we were trying to keep our wedding at a very low price point just for the sake of everyone who was able to come. Like I said, my family, they are not travelers. They've never done this before. And thinking about a ticket to another country, they're like, money. What is this going to cost me? Hotel, money. What is this going to cost me? I have to pay for food and drinks. What is this going to cost me? So we were trying to keep the price down, and we actually decided not to go with a resort to help keep that price down. We were going to do everything separate on our own. I mean, mistake on our part because there's so much more planning to do. But at Isla Mujeres, they have a lot of these cute little boutique hotels, like 12 rooms in them. And we felt like ballers because we found a couple hotels and we were going to rent out the whole hotel basically for like the entire weekend. And because our guest list was down and we, as the bride and groom, were going to save some money, we were actually going to pay for our groomsmen and our bridesmaids' hotel rooms and our parents, you know, for the weekend. We ended up not doing that because these are small little boutique hotels, they're normally family run. And we ran into communication problems. It wasn't necessarily a language barrier. I had emailed them and was talking to them back and forth in English, and they responded in very good English as well. So it wasn't necessarily language. It's just that, like, they're on island time. And they're just a family kind of mom and pop boutique hotel that's just doing their own thing. And weddings are a lot of details. Weddings are a lot of work. The first hotel that fell through, it was a 12-room hotel. We talked about, you know, renting the whole thing out. They were like, yes, 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 let's do it. But they were like, by the way, included in that wedding cost that we quoted you online, it said we had a wedding coordinator, but we are no longer offering that service because they're just some mom and pop. And I'm sure they got like Bridezilla screamed at by someone at some point. And they're like, screw this, I'm not doing this anymore, which I don't blame them for that. So I was going to have to get separately another wedding coordinator, which, okay, let's do it. But then they just kind of stopped responding. And that's what happened at the second boutique hotel that we tried to go through as well. I don't know what the deal is. Maybe it's miscommunication and they were like, nah, we don't want to do this. Maybe I was asking too many questions and they thought I was going to be a bridezilla. I just wasn't ready to put down money on something until I had all my questions answered. And we just eventually stopped hearing from them. Like the last email I sent out was a follow-up email to a list of questions that I was like, okay, I just have a few more questions before we say, yeah, let's do it. And I still to this day haven't heard from them. So I don't know. It's just, I blame it on being on island time. I don't know what else to tell you. So a lot to think about if you're thinking of doing a destination wedding. I mean, it's not easy. I thought that was the easy way out for some reason because I read online like destination weddings, it's easy. It's easier if you're going to a resort. Sure, like they have wedding coordinators and they do it all the time, but it is going to be very much like their way. These are the packages. This is what we offer. You can customize a little bit, but it's pretty much going to be what we tell you it's going to be, which that's fine too, because at the end of the day, you're on this gorgeous island, so who cares? But it was just logistically way, way too much for my family to have to go and get, you know, who knows how many passports, the worry about COVID and possible vaccine requirements for travel and not hearing from hotels. I mean, I want to be able to hear from at least my venue. So it was just, it proved to be a little bit more difficult than I thought it was going to be to do a destination wedding. And so that is my list of, oh, I didn't think about that. Because me too. What's going on in Denver? I like don't go out at all of my house anymore just because I don't need to. I like go to the grocery store and that's it. We went to IKEA over the weekend. Does that count as doing something different? But no, what's going on in Denver? Not a whole lot. I heard that Broncos head coach Vic Fangio has been fired after 3 losing seasons. That's pretty much all I'm going to say on that because I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I know about sports. I just know it's important to Denver because Denver's a big sports city and we love our Broncos and we love our football. And yeah, go Broncos! But I don't know nothing about it, so I'm not going to say nothing about it. I just know the man got let go. That does it for episode 3. Oh my goodness. Again, thank you so, so much for listening. You can listen on Spotify. You can watch full podcast episodes on YouTube. Yeah, they got to be split up into 15-minute increments. That is not something I realize YouTube is doing now. So that's why there's multiple videos per episode. But they're still up there. Make sure to follow at the Nina Blanco on all your social channels. Go and check that Facebook video out and check out the comments. Like, people think I am the most terrible person in the world. All right, that does it for me. The Nina Blanco podcast, episode 3 is a wrap. Thank you.